In this presentation, we would like to look at the subject of the priesthood, past and present, in the Word of God. And the very first question that might come to our mind is the priesthood. What's priesthood? Well, priesthood is the means God has provided by which we can approach Him. And this is the goal of the priesthood, that we might have fellowship with God. And it is provided, it is based on the work of the Lord Jesus Christ on the cross. Now that we have the Holy Spirit indwelling us as believers, we can understand the things of God, which the natural man is not able to understand. This is what we read in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 12. 13, and so on. So now when we look at the Old Testament, how the priesthood was established in the Old Testament, the tabernacle, the sacrifices, and the sons of Aaron who were doing the priesthood, we understand that these things are shadows, pictures of the reality we are living now today in Christ. So the priesthood really is all these things that have been given by God and prepared so that we can have fellowship with Him. The tabernacle in itself, the tent with all its construction and materials, is speaking of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the tabernacle also is a picture with all its utensils, how we can approach God in a way which is agreeable to Him, and the necessity of bringing a sacrifice to approach Him. So we have the tabernacle, which speaks of Christ and His work. We have the sacrifices, which were in themselves speaking of Christ and His work. And we understand these things today. As we will go in this presentation, we have to remember that in the Old Testament, what we will discuss today, they are not things that they were readily understanding, but today we do. And we want to learn from the Old Testament things that will make us grow in the understanding of what is the priesthood. So, in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 5 and verse 9, we read very important things. Yourselves also, as living stones, are being built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. And in verse 9, but you are a chosen race, a kingly priesthood, a holy nation, a people for a possession, that you might set forth the excellencies of Him who has called you out of darkness to His wonderful light. We find three expressions. First of all, a spiritual house. We are now a spiritual house to God by the Holy Spirit. Ephesians chapter 2 and in what we read here. And each of the children of God are living stones of that house. And this is when the assembly is gathered together that we can offer spiritual sacrifices to God. We are a holy priesthood. Every single child of God who is truly saved through the work of the Lord Jesus Christ by faith, by grace, has become a priest. In Apocalypse chapter 1 verse 5 or Revelation chapter 1 verse 5, we read that Christ has made us such priests to His God. And a kingly priesthood, well, at the end of the presentation, we will look at what it means to be a kingly priesthood. But we will go forward very quickly concerning the idea of a spiritual house, and then after we will go in more details into the Holy Spirit priesthood and what it does, in fact, what it means to be a priest. In the Old Testament, we read that God had a plan for His people Israel when He bought them from Egypt, when He delivered them. And now, you will be to me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. It was the goal of God that all the people of Israel were to be a kingdom of priests, a holy nation. This people have I formed for myself, that they will show forth my praise. And this is exactly what we have read in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 5 and verse 9. Unfortunately, it didn't happen that way because the people sinned. We remember that they made that golden calf, that molten image, when Moses was just going down from the mountain for the first time with the tables of the law. And because of that sin, God had to set a tent outside of the camp where he could meet those who come to him. God cannot dwell among people who are sinners, but he provided a means for it to happen. And it was a tabernacle. With the tabernacle, there was a way to approach God as a sinner and to be accepted by God. And the priesthood was established. You had the tabernacle, and then you needed people to do the service in the tabernacle. And this is where the priests are coming in. A holy priesthood. In the Old Testament, who were priests? What is a priest? A priest is a spiritual person who lives near God and understands what is due to God. In the Old Testament, the priest had the knowledge, by the law of Moses, of what they should do so that we can approach God. And so they were there to exercise everything that had to be done with the sacrifices and all the different oblations and services so that people can have fellowship with God, so that also the people as a nation could have communion with God. In the New Testament, it's the same. Only those who are now living spiritually can be priests for God. Only those who live close to God can be priests for God, and who have the understanding of what is due to God can be priests to God. And God has made us such. We have the scriptures, we have the Holy Spirit indwelling us, giving us understanding on the things of God, and so we can serve God in such a way. So, who could be priest? I'm sorry, first of all, why? Why priest? Again, priests were needed to exercise the priesthood because the people were sinners. So it was necessary that intercession was made, that a priesthood was established so that someone can approach God. Today in the New Testament, this is completely different. Christ is our great high priest, and through his service, and because we are sons of God, we are also priests to him, with him. And we can approach God freely with our worship and our sacrifices and offerings to God through the Lord Jesus Christ. He has made the propitiation that was necessary for us so that we can go near God. So priests were needed. Priesthood was necessary. Now it's all made by the Lord Jesus Christ. Who can be a priest? Well, in the Old Testament, we see that Aaron and his sons were priests. And all the grandchildren, great-grandchildren of Aaron were all priests because they were born in that family. They had the right and title to be priest. The only thing that would hinder them for service is if they had physical handicap, or if they were not correct physically, so to speak. I'm sorry, I'm not finding the word in English right now for that. But if they had problems physically, they could not serve God. And this was speaking of, these are images for us today. For us, when we are born again, when we have life in Christ, we are also priests. Not by because we decided to be priests, not because a man has established himself a priest, we see that in religion today, but because we are saved and children of God. God has made us priests through Christ, who provided, again, the payment on the cross so that we might be saved. every redeemed one is a priest. In the Old Testament, when we see Aaron and his sons, it's a picture of Christ and the assembly. It is the sovereign choice of God that Aaron has been picked up and his family, and it is the same, the sovereign choice, the graceful choice of God, that we are now made priest to him forever. The sacrifices. There were gifts, sacrifices, offerings that were brought to the temple in order to come in the presence of God. In the Old Testament, we have bloody sacrifices, and we have also not bloody sacrifices. We will look at them. But for us today, in the New Testament, as children of God, we see that we are also offering sacrifices, but they are spiritual sacrifices, as we have read in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 5. We offer praise to God, Hebrews 13, verse 15. We offer our bodies as living sacrifice, rendering an intelligent service. And God accepts these things, and He's pleased with these sacrifices. But these are no more sacrifices of animal, but an intelligent service and praises, spiritual sacrifices. And all these things are speaking of the work of the Lord Jesus Christ, that He came to die on the cross in our stead, because of our sin. We see in these verses, Him who knew not sin, He has made sin for us. Christ has redeemed us out of the curse of the law, having become a curse for us. Christ indeed has once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, that He might bring us to God. Without blood shedding, there is no remission. The Lord Jesus had to come. He didn't came just to show us a perfect example of a perfect man that we have to follow, maybe in order to be saved. But He came so that we might be saved. He came as the Lamb of God to die on the cross, that we be saved. And this is why He came. And of course, through His life, we see His perfect service, His perfect life, His self-sacrifice, His love, His devotion to God. We see all these things. But He came to die in our stead because of our sin. He came to be the Lamb of God, this only sacrifice that could redeem us from our sins. And so, as we will look at the sacrifices in the Old Testament, let us remember all the time that the only one sacrifice that God accepts is the person of His Son, Jesus Christ. And when we look at these sacrifices, they are speaking of different aspects of Christ and His work. And this is exactly what we can bring as spiritual sacrifices to God. And it will be a sweet-smelling savor for Him. This is what we can do as priests in our priesthood today. This is what we offer to God. And so, with the help of God, we will go through the different sacrifices in the Old Testament, and we will try to learn some new things and refresh our minds maybe on things we know, so that we might better bring to God the offerings He's looking for. So in Leviticus chapter 1 to 7, we have four great categories of sacrifices. And we have in chapter 6 and 7 the laws concerning the sacrifices. The first sacrifice we see is the burnt offering in chapter 1. Then the oblation or meat offering, chapter 2. Then the peace offering in chapter 3. And then the sin offering in chapter 4 and 5. Now the order in this presentation will be the order we see in the law of the sacrifices in chapter 6 and 7, which is the burnt offering, the oblation, then the sin offering, and we will finish with the peace offering. Very quickly, the burnt offering was completely burnt and consumed and given to God, and it's speaking of Christ giving Himself completely to God. The oblation speaks of the perfection of Christ in His humanity. And then the peace offering reminds us that Christ came to make peace for us. The peace that Jesus brought has made by the blood of his cross. And we have now communion with God. And finally, the sin offering, as we have here in chapter 4 and 5, was a mandatory sacrifice. One who had sin had to come with such a sacrifice in order to be forgiven. Let's go into the details of the burnt offering in chapter 1. So what is the very first aspect we can bring as a spiritual sacrifice to God? The burnt offering is that first aspect. It was a bullock, and it was speaking of dedication and devotion to God. We see in that sacrifice Christ, the perfect man, coming down here on this earth where sin abounds everywhere. He, this perfect person, is giving himself completely to God up to the cross. Complete, total devotion of that perfect man, that perfect Son of God. And this is what this sacrifice is speaking of. Christ came to offer himself entirely to God. The sacrifice had to be without blemish, and it reminds us of the purity and the perfections of the Lord Jesus Christ. The one who came to offer that sacrifice had to lay his hand on the animal. It was in order to be accepted, agreeable to God. So the laying of hand was, so to speak, to communicate the virtues, the perfection of the victim to the one who was offering the sacrifice. And the slaughtering of the victim was reminding the person that it's, if he is accepted before God, is because of the perfection of that victim, because he is not perfect. Then the victim, the offerer, the one who brought the animal, had to flay the animal and cut it into pieces after. And it reminds us that in every aspect of the life of the Lord Jesus, there is perfection everywhere in all the minute details. There's nothing that is not left to perfection. We, through all the sufferings, to all the injuries, to all the pains, we see the perfection of the Lord Jesus in every single detail of his whole being. And finally, we also have the fact that the internal of the sacrifice had to be washed, and also the legs. This washing is to make the sacrifice clean, pure, perfect. And it is a picture again of the Lord Jesus, who was completely clean, pure, and perfect. If we take also the Word of God, the water as a picture of the Word of God, we see that the Word of God tested the Lord in every way inside him as well as outside him. If he was perfect outside, he was also perfect inside. We see that all that the Word of God could prove concerning the Son of God was that he was perfect and completely dedicated to God. So this is what the burnt offering is speaking to us, that Christ delivered himself up for us, an offering and sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. There were also different burnt offerings from the flock or from the foals. And this is speaking of different levels of understanding concerning that aspect of the dedication and sacrifice of Christ. A babe in Christ, as we read in 1 John chapter 2, verse 12 to 15, has not much understanding concerning the person of Christ. And so his sacrifice will be more smaller, less clear. But God receives this worship also, even if it's not perfect, because he's a child of God, and he's a priest by definition. And when we bring the person of Christ to God, he receives it. And then you have the young man in the Word of God. The young man has a better understanding of the perfection of the Lord Jesus through his life. And this is agreeable to God. And then you have the fathers in Christ. They should be and are, if they are fathers, able to bring to God minute detail concerning his son and appreciate the person of Christ in such a way that is like the burnt offering of the bullock. So let us be occupied of the Lord Jesus, so to grow in the knowledge of his person and to offer sacrifices that God seeks, presenting the person of his son in all his perfections and different aspects. The burnt offering had to burn during all the night also. We are today in the night of the absence of our Lord Jesus. But when we gather together to remember him, this is a sweet-smelling savor to God. It is the memorial of the person of the Lord Jesus is precious to God all the time. And not only once a week, but when we are at home also and we praise God for the person of his son, this is agreeable to God. The second sacrifice was the oblation. It's another aspect that we can bring as priests to God concerning the person of his son, Jesus. This sacrifice was not a bloody sacrifice in order to be accepted, but it was a sacrifice that was speaking of the perfect life of our Lord Jesus and the perfection of his humanity. The fine flower speaks exactly of that. Everything was in harmony in the person of the Lord Jesus. We have different characters, you know, different temperaments, and sometimes we see we are unbalanced in different in our ways of acting and doing things. But in the Lord Jesus, everything was perfectly harmonized in his being. So we see the perfection of his person, and also in we will come to it in all the circumstances. Another ingredients of the oblation was the oil. The oil speaks of the Holy Spirit, and we know that the offering. It's not we know that I was going to speak of Christ, but just to say, in the offering of the oblation, the oil had to be mixed with the flour, or had to be poured over the cake, if you want, the meat offering. So oil was an important ingredient. And we know, this is what I was going to say, we know that the Lord Jesus was conceived by the Holy Spirit. He was anointed by the Holy Spirit. He was filled by the Holy Spirit. And that the Holy Spirit descended upon him like a dove. What a difference with us when we were baptized of the Holy Spirit. It was with the symbol of flames, tongues of fire, which speaks of the fact that there are things in our lives that the Holy Spirit has to judge and remove, that we have to judge and remove because we are still in the flesh. But with the Lord Jesus, everything was perfect, fine flour. And when the Spirit came on him, it was under the picture of a dove. By the way, a parenthesis, the baptism of fire, it's not what happened in Act 2. It was the baptism of the Holy Spirit. The baptism of fire is the judgment that is yet to come. So the third ingredient after we have is the frankincense. It speaks of all the satisfaction God has concerning his son and his perfect humanity. Everything that the Lord Jesus did was for God. It was not for the approbation of men, but only for his God and Father. Now we see that fire was also used in that oblation, in that sacrifice. And fire was manifesting the perfection of Christ in the difficult circumstances of his life. When we have trials in our lives, this is when we see what really is inside us, isn't it? Sometimes it's not very beautiful and we have to judge that and walk by the Spirit so that we might produce, so that the Spirit might have liberty to produce his fruit in our lives. But when we are not judging ourselves and the difficult circumstances are coming in our way, the natural ourselves is going out, isn't it? Well, in the Lord Jesus, everything he was going through was just showing one thing, is perfection altogether. We have three kinds of ways the fire was applied on that meat offering. The first one, it was baked in the oven, which speaks of the hidden, secret suffering of our Lord Jesus. Suffering which we do not clearly read of when we read the Gospels. For example, the sufferings he must have had when he was seeing evil around him, when he was seeing the consequences of sin on the people's death, when he was rejected, when he was misunderstood even by his disciples, when he was on the cross and nobody understood. These are sufferings we do not see clearly in the Gospel. When we meditate on these things, of what it had meant for him to go through several different circumstances, we are appreciating the depth of the person of the Lord Jesus and all the perfection there is in him. God was seeing all these things. The other way the fire was applied on that offering was through the pan. And the pan speaks of the public ordeals and difficulties by which the Lord Jesus went through, which we more clearly see in the New Testament. For example, fatigue, the contradiction of sinners. We have the hostility, the beatings, the spittings, the whippings, the cross, all these things, which we can read and realize he suffered. But through these sufferings, we always see his perfect character going out. After having been whipped and spit upon and beaten, he's before Pilate and he still gives a perfect testimony to the truth. None of us would have do that, but the Lord Jesus does. He was hungry and still patient to speak with people. He was tired and still was good with those around him. Sometimes, you know, when we are tired, at least me, we lose patience more quickly than usual, isn't it? Never with the Lord Jesus. Finally, we have prepared in the cauldron, which would give the image of having a smaller understanding of the perfection of the Lord Jesus. It's more confused, but yet we realize that his person is not like we are. Again, like a babe in Christ, a young believer will realize that Christ is not like the other men and not like him. But it's not clear yet completely. But when he grow as a young man, he clearly see in the Gospel that clearly he is perfect in all his ways despite what happened to him. And as we grow older, as fathers in Christ, we can go deeper in all the sufferings he went through in different circumstances, even though it's not clearly written in the Word of God. Again, when we speak of the Lord Jesus in his perfect humanity and in his perfect life to our God and Father, when we bring this sacrifice to God in praise and thanksgiving, even if we are a babe in Christ or a father, he receives it because he appreciates everything that is from his Son, Jesus. The third sacrifice, before the third sacrifice, there were two things absent from that sacrifice, the oblation, and one thing always present. The two things absent were leaven, which speaks of what puffs up, what gives pride, what gives self-importance, heaven maybe hypocrisy. None of these things were in Christ. He was always doing everything he did for his God and Father alone. And honey. Honey speaks of the sweetness of the natural affections we have as a human being. We see also in the Lord Jesus that his natural affections for his mother, his brothers and sisters, half-brothers and sisters, should I say, and for his friends and his disciples, those he loved, these things were never an obstacle to change his perfect path and service for his God. The proof, one of the proof we can see clearly, is for Lazarus. The one whom you loved is sick. Did the Lord Jesus say, I need to go back home right now? I need to go back right now to help him. His natural affection would have done that, I am sure. But he was doing everything as perfectly dependent of God. This is an example for us also. In our lives, as priests to God, we must not carry leaven in our life. Judge that, remove that, and also the same thing with the natural affections. When we come into the sanctuary to praise God, it must not be an offering of emotions. You know, we can have emotions, but we must make a clear distinction between both. We are offering spiritual sacrifices to God, which are speaking of the person of His Son, Jesus Christ. We're not offering our love and our tears and emotions we might feel. These feelings have nothing to do with the worship we should bring to God. And also, we have to judge ourselves, as we read in 1 Corinthians chapter 11. And judging ourselves to see if there is leaven in us, some things we should judge, remove, sin, and then after, remember the Lord Jesus. So as we gather together to offer these sacrifices to God, no leaven and no honey, no natural emotions are going to the meeting because this or that person is there and I like them. You know, I want to be there because they are there. Nothing natural. We must make our service to God. And the thing which is always present is the salt of the covenant, which preserves and guards against corruption. We must be in favor of what is good, and we must be against of what is wrong. The salt must not be lacking in our lives, personally, and also that good and evil are clear when we come in the presence of God, in order not to tolerate in His presence that which would be evil. In our Lord Jesus, all His person was completely perfect. And finally, for the oblation, for that offering, the meat offering, there was a part for God, a handful, we read, and then oil, and also all the frankincense. And it reminds us that the whole life of Christ was an offering to God. So that was the part which was offered to God on the altar. The other part was for the priest. Everything else was for the priest. And they had to eat it in a holy place. Well, everything that touches the person of the Lord Jesus is most holy. And when we consider the person of the Lord Jesus in the scriptures, it's important to do it in a holy place, not with our own thoughts, not with the thoughts of this world and his philosophies, but to receive what we learn of Christ directly from scriptures without any impurity in it. We learn from the Lord of His holy person. And it reminds us also that Christ is our manna, that Christ is the bread of life, and that He is our food. We need to feed ourselves of His blessed person. What is transforming our lives is not laws and religious things to do. It's not religions and rules. It's the person of the Lord Jesus that is transforming us. And the more we are occupied of Him, in His perfection as a perfect man, in His perfect life, it will change and transform us day after day until He comes to take us with Him. So let us nourish ourselves of the Lord Jesus that we might grow from babes to young men to fathers to offer again sacrifices which are most agreeable to God concerning the person of His Son, Jesus. Third, the sin offering. It was mandatory to offer a sin offering, confessing one's sin and maybe to pay back that which was due in different cases, in some cases, was not enough to be forgiven. An offering had to be given to be forgiven. Sin is serious before God, and it breaks fellowship with Him. There are three main different sacrifices for sin in Leviticus chapter 4 and 5. We will go very quickly over these because there's too many different details to go through them. There are different sacrifices depending on who sinned, what happened, what was the responsibility of that person, and what was the wealth also, the capacity of that person. So the first one was the sacrifice on the great day of propitiation, where the offering was slaughtered and burnt outside of the camp. And the blood was put on the mercy seat in the most holy place in the tabernacle, and on the altar, on the horns, and around the altar. It speaks of the sacrifice of the Lord Jesus that has been made once and for all, by which means we are forgiven all our sins. Then there was also, this sacrifice was, so to speak, the foundation of God's relation with his people. And it is so today. Without the sacrifice of Christ for our sins, we would have no relation with God at all. The second sacrifice was when a priest had sinned, or when the people as a whole, the nation, had sinned. Again, a sacrifice was brought, it was slaughtered, and the animal again was burned outside of the camp. When such a sin was made, it was breaking the service for God, or it was breaking the communion of the people with God. So the blood on that occasion had to be carried inside the tabernacle, but only put on the altar of incense. And then the victim was burned outside of the camp again, and the blood put on the altar, on the horns of the altar. The third sacrifice was the sacrifice for sin if a person, an individual, had sinned. It was breaking communion with God. So the blood in that case, the victim was slaughtered and the blood was put on the altar. And then, it's different, the victim had to be eaten by the priests. It shows that there was a complete identification of the priest with the sin, so to speak. When the person was putting its hand on the victim, it was not to have the merit of the victim as in the burnt offering, but it was to put his culpability and his guilt of his sin on the innocent victim. And as the person who came with that offering for his sin slaughtered the animal, it was reminding him that the animal died because of his sin. So he had to understand the gravity of what he had done before God. The more we are forgiven, the more we have appreciation of what Christ did for us on the cross. And it is always good when we also are surprised by a sin in our life, and we come to God, as we read in 1 John chapter 1, verse 9, to confess our sin. He is faithful and righteous to forgive us our sin and to cleanse us from all iniquity. But let us not forget and meditate on what it costed the Lord Jesus so that we might be forgiven. And the more we do that, the more we appreciate what the Lord Jesus Christ has done for us. So, the only thing that was burnt on the altar in this sacrifice was the fat of the victim. And it was a sweet-smelling savor to God. This fat is speaking of the inner strength of the Lord Jesus. All his strength was given so that we might be saved. I'm being very quick, but hopefully this is enough. This is a good start, I would say, to start meditating more deeply on the work of the Lord Jesus concerning the sin offering. So when we come before God, we can give thanks to God for what his Son Jesus has done for us. We see also different levels of offerings that were given, from the poorest with only fine flour to those who were more wealthy. And it speaks again of the appreciation we have as a babe in Christ. He doesn't understand much, but he knows that Christ has died on the cross for his sin. He believes he's the Son of God and that he was not deserving to die, and he died, he, perfect man, for him. A bit like the two the two others that were crucified with the Lord Jesus, one of them recognized in Christ that he didn't deserve that. It was very small, like a flower, very small sacrifice, but it was accepted, received. And as we grow as young men and as fathers, we can appreciate much more deeply what it costed the Lord Jesus. And these things we can bring to God in praise and thanksgiving as a memorial of his son, Jesus. So this is another sacrifice we can bring to God. And fourthly, the peace offering. The peace offering is speaking of communion with God. Christ has made peace for us, and he is our peace. Now we have fellowship with God, we have fellowship with the Father, and we have fellowship with the Son, as we read in 1 John chapter 1, verse 3. And the peace offering is speaking of that. There were three parts to the peace offering. The first part was given to God. It was the blood of the victim, and it was the fat of the victim. The blood speaks of the infinite value of the work of Christ in the eye of God the Father. And it is for the eternal satisfaction of our God. And the fat, again, speaks of the inner strength of the Lord Jesus and all his complete devotion to his God and Father. In this devotion went up to the death on the cross. And it is a continuous subject of appreciation and delight to our God. The second part was for the priest. What was given to the priest was the breast and the shoulder of the victim, or the chest. I'm not always sure of the words in English on that. So the breast and its fat was offered, and it was speaking of the love of the Lord Jesus. The love of the Lord Jesus to his God and Father, to the assembly, his assembly, and to every single children of God. And the priest had to eat that part, and it is good for us, brothers and sisters, to feed ourselves on the Lord, on the love of the love of the Lord Jesus for us. The other thing that was offered was the shoulder. And the shoulder can speak of the preeminent importance of the Lord Jesus. He was not anybody. In the Old Testament, we have an example with the prophet Samuel, who made an offering at one occasion and set aside the shoulder of the sacrifice to give it to the future king Saul. And it was to show the importance of that person. In the New Testament, we read that the Lord Jesus has received a name above every name, that he is seated at the right hand of God, that one day every knee shall bow to him, and that also he will bear the government on his right shoulder. So this is the importance of the Lord Jesus. And we can rejoice in all the glory that the Lord Jesus has in fellowship with God the Father and his Son Jesus Christ. This is the peace offering. So the priests, us, had to feed themselves on these things. And the third part was for the worshiper and his guests. Everything else was for him. It's interesting, you know, this offering was voluntary completely. So the worshiper, when he was coming, it was out of gratitude to God for blessings he already had received and enjoyed by God. Is it not the same thing for us? We can go in the presence, the very presence of God, with all liberty, just to give praises and thanks to God for everything we have through Christ, through his sacrifice, through his life, because he died on the cross for us. And rejoice, rejoice always in the Lord, as the Apostle Paul would remind us also in Philippians chapter 4 and 3 also, two times in Philippians, in fact. So to rejoice in the Lord and go in the presence of God for everything we have in the Lord Jesus. We are already being blessed of every spiritual blessings in the heavenlies in Christ Jesus, and we can come before God and give thanks and praise for this. The Father is looking for such worshipper who come heartily, voluntarily to Him to give praise and thanks. And the peace offering is specifically speaking of that. Now the worshipper had to lay his hand on the victim and to slaughter the victim. And it reminded, this time it was not to receive the merit of the victim or to put any culpability and guilt, his guilt of sin on the victim, but it was to have fellowship, to be reminded that if he's blessed and happy now, it's because of what God did for him. And for us, we understand more than that. It's because we have everything through Christ and His sacrifice on the cross. So it was really showing communion and fellowship. So may we take time to meditate on these things, appreciate what we have in the Lord Jesus Christ. There was many other things, but we have no time, but these are the main things of the peace offering. The offering had to be eaten on the very same day, with the exception of the offering that was coming with a vow. The second day, they could eat also. Of the day after, they could eat of the offering. It reminds us of a very important thing. When we are rejoicing in God for all the blessings we have in Christ, we must never forget that it is because of the sacrifice of the Lord Jesus. It has to stay fresh in our hearts. If we are blessed, if we have everything now in Christ Jesus, is because of His sacrifice on the cross. A kingly priesthood. Now we have seen what it is to be a holy priesthood. We bring sacrifices of praise to God. These praises concern the perfect victim, completely dedicated to God in the burnt offering. It concerns the perfection of Christ as a man in His perfect life, the oblation. It concerns the fact that Christ died for our sin. He suffered in our stead. This is the sin offering. And it concerns also the praises we can bring to have fellowship with God because of the work of the Lord Jesus. These are all big categories of praise, adoration, worship we can bring to God through Christ. It is the person of Christ we present to God, and we give thanks and worship God for that. But what it means to be a kingly priesthood? Well, we have read in our verses, a kingly priesthood, a holy nation, a people for a possession, that you might set forth the excellencies of Him who has called you out of darkness to His wonderful light. It is to speak of the Lord Jesus. If it is a privilege and an important thing to bring offerings of praise and thanksgiving to God, we are also invited to proclaim the virtues and perfection of the Lord Jesus all around us. The expression is very similar in Hebrews chapter 13, verse 15, where we read, "By Him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise continually to God, that is, the fruit of the lips confessing His name." We are able to speak to others around us of all the grace, the love, the light we now enjoy in Christ and in the very presence of God because of the work of Christ on the cross. And when we speak of the Lord Jesus to the people around us, it really is being a kingly priesthood. We take the riches we have in Christ and we share them with people who need these riches and bring salvation to their souls. So this is what it is to be a kingly priesthood. So if we want to exercise our priesthood in a complete way, we not only bring offerings to God, which is the person of Christ, the only offering that God is receiving, His Son Jesus, with nothing of us. We can bring nothing to God except the sacrifice He's looking for, His beloved Son. And it is also, secondly, to be a kingly priesthood to speak of Christ around us, of His virtue, the virtues of the one who brought us out of darkness into light forevermore. May we respond to God's mind and heart and thought in doing these two things as a priesthood, to offer Him the sacrifices of praise concerning His Son Jesus, our worship, our meditation, our adorations, giving ourselves, our body, our lives to His service, in remembering all the time what it costed Him to save us. And may we also, on the other side, proclaim the virtues and beauties of the Lord Jesus all around us. May the Lord encourage you and me, all of us, as we wait for the soon return of the Lord Jesus, to do these things, whether we are a babe in Christ, a young man, a father in Christ, to be occupied of the Lord Jesus, meditate on Him, to grow in these things, and offer these sacrifices of praise to God, and speak of Him around us for the glory of the Lord Jesus.